It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Clexton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going
to
do
what? And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Clexton. Have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or you can send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, your CBD store in West Mobile, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous, yep. Seafood Shed.
Yep.
Hey, man, we just talking about Ed's Seafood Shed. I understand. I think it's, I'll have to look at my calendar and see, December the 6th and 7th, I believe is a Saturday and a Sunday. They're going to have a big Toys for Tots deal at Ed's, and I think, guys, if you bring some toys or whatever, then I don't have all of the ramifications of it yet or exactly how it's going to work, but as soon as I get it, probably next week I'll have it. And or have Nick or Pete want to give us a call. But they're going to do everything they can working with the Marine Corps. I think it's 3rd Force Recon Unit that's in charge of Toys for Tots. I know our P.O. Wilson Detachment Marine Corps League works with them as well and the Leatherneck Bike Riders. So it's just look for it. It will be interesting, and you will enjoy it. It'll be able to come to Ed's and partake of some food and all, and it'll have – total sponsorship for the Toys for Tots for Christmas.
And I think that'll be Baldwin and Mobile County.
I think it probably is, but I'll have confirmation on that.
To distribute the
by
toys.
Next, right. Oh, yeah, by next Monday.
Yeah, and Charlie, looks like we got a whoop.
Got a call.
Just missed it.
They got mad and hung up already.
Well, we just missed your call, but if you got a call, question, comment, please give us a call back.
And bottom, we are live tonight.
We are live. Hey, caller, you on there?
Hello.
Yes. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a question I have an 06 Chevrolet Silverado, and I have 171,000 miles on it. At what point should I have the timing belt change and maintenance done to it?
Well, I mean,
171,000.
Yeah, you know, as far as the timing chain itself goes, don't worry about it. I've yet to see one break or
I haven't either.
Give an issue, and I've seen those things with upwards of 500,000 miles on them.
Yeah, it doesn't have a belt.
It doesn't have a belt. It has a chain, so okay. That part's good to go. As far as the maintenance, there's you have your normal inspections that you do every time you change oil, about every 5,000 miles, where you're checking for leaks or, anything like along those lines. You want to do your plugs every 100,000 miles, the wires at the same time, the upper induction cleaning stuff, probably every, 30, 40,000 miles. Transmission, I don't know if you've had any of the fluids changed in that. If you have not done it at 170,000 miles, I'd be a little hesitant to tell you to do it.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, I wouldn't change it.
But if you have been having it changed, then, about every 50 to 60,000 miles on the transmission. It's just your average basic maintenance. They've really taken a lot of the maintenance out of the newer vehicles. You don't have any kind of adjustments or anything like that to do. You have your check engine light if anything is going awry. So as long as it's still running well and that, just keep on trucking.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. I appreciate you calling in.
Hey, all that being said, Kev, what about the injectors and our coils and all that? We have most all these things now. If it's a V8, it's got 8 injectors. If it's a V6, it's got 6 injectors. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, a lot of them have 6 coils or 8 coils, coil for each each cylinder. Is there any maintenance there that you know of that on a mileage figure or anything, or it just goes when it breaks to fix it?
Well, most of that is not a a mileage maintenance thing, you know. On our LS based stuff, like the 5.3s and the trucks and the 6.0s, 6.2s and Camaros, when you change the plugs at 100,000 miles, I recommend the wires to be changed. It's got a little short plug wire to go from the coil to the plug. On the cars that have a coil-on plug ignition, which means that the coil actually bolts down right over the top of the plug, there's really not a time basis on those. You know, you inspect them when you change the plugs or anytime you have them out for any reason. If they look good, put them back in.
But if you have the proper diagnostic equipment, then you can do that through the computer, can't you?
Well, you can check and see if it's had any misfires
in
that.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it will give you a circuitry code, but it will have a misfire as well if there's an issue there. So, you know, it's not
tough. But if you check it through the circuitry, though, and it doesn't have any misfires, then it's not necessary to change it.
Right. Okay. You know, but, you know, the main thing is to change your plugs when they're supposed to, which 100,000 is pretty much the interval nowadays. We don't have the problem we used to have. What we used to have is, you know, when we had a standard plug, rather than the platinum stuff we're running now, you know, the plug would actually wear out,
mm-hmm.
and it would go from what it was supposed to be a 45,000th gap to a 90 or 100,000th gap.
Right.
And it was working the coils so much harder that it would start killing coils and stuff like that.
That's when we had cheap plugs. We had $2, $3, $4 plugs, you know, with regular steel elements on them. But now with the platinum plugs, as you say, you don't have that problem. But at the same time, you don't buy those plugs for $5 or $6.
No. You know, they're a little more expensive, but you don't replace them very often.
Well, so, that's the thing, you know.
Yeah, and that's the big thing is that they really hold up very well. You know, I have seen them go 150,000, 175,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know, and not look that bad when you pull them out. You know, but they're not performing the way they should at that point.
All that, you know? True. Now that being said, we're talking about back in the day when we had steel cylinder heads and we were changing plugs at 30,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't seldom have a problem where we stripped one of them out or broke one of them off. Are we continuing to have that problem this day and time when we go into 100,000 miles and we have aluminum heads and steel plugs and da-da-da-da-da?
Yeah, we don't really have a whole lot of problem with that.
Okay.
You know, I know Ford over, you know, several years back, they've had some issues with plugs either blowing out or breaking off when you go to pull them out.
Right.
When
you go to pull them out, it peels the threads out.
Well, it would do that, plus it would also break the end. It was a two-piece plug, and it'd pull the end of it off, and you had to have a special tool to get it out. It would pull the head.
Right.
So,
if you pull the heads, I know I priced it. If you pull the heads at the Ford place to have those redone, it was $3,000 to change.
Oh, yeah. Change it says Clark plugs.
Change it says Clark
basically. So. Yeah, not a cheap tune.
No, I priced that for a customer one time. I said, I think we're going to have to get around this somehow.
We'll figure out a different way to do this. But we do have a text message here. Let's see. You have a 2003 GMC 2500. When applying the brakes, will not stop.
Mm-mm.
ABS light comes on, and until releasing the pedal, then reapplying the brakes again, vehicle will stop.
What the hell is that?
Well, you know, and it really depends. There's what may be happening is it may be having a false ABS event, which is making the light come on. It may very well be picking up that a wheel is not turning, dropping out a wheel speed sensor when you hit the brake. And what it'll do is it releases pressure trying to make that wheel turn again.
Okay.
And it actually makes the pedal go down towards the floor, makes it hard to stop. So really need to know what that ABS light code is.
In essence, it could be a wheel sensor, though.
And it could be something as simple as a wheel sensor. You know, I would have to start with knowing what the code that is setting on that ABS to really give you good.
But it could be as simple as a wheel sensor.
Yeah, it could vary. Or a wheel speed sensor or broke wire somewhere going to them.
Yeah.
Because you have that, you know, the thin wires going out there to the wheel speed sensors on especially on the front wheels that are constantly being flexed every time you turn the wheel and the vehicle goes up and down, whatever. So that's, you know, over time they can break.
Oh yes,
you
know? Oh yes.
They make it out of a high flex wire that's, you know, very fine strands.
Oh yeah, and it's not cheap either.
Nothing's cheap anymore.
I don't even like to use the word cheap. Nothing is economical anymore.
Right, right. You know, it's we'll get into that later because it sounds like we're going to have to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors. But we will
without
be back.
The music.
Yeah, we'll be back with the Car Doctor Show after these messages.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard this.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor Kevin Ramko, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we do have a caller online. We have Shannon with us. Shannon, you with us?
Yes, sir. Hey, question.
Okay.
Guys, buying wires and buying plugs from a dealership or AutoZone or one of the, I guess, parts place. Are the wires the same and plugs the same? I think
you have
out there on the air.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as the plugs go, as long as you're buying if you got a GM product and you're buying AC Delco plugs, it doesn't matter where you buy them from. I'm sure my parts department probably didn't like me to tell you this, but it's the same plug, you know, as long as it's an AC Delco. You may or may not be able to get the Delco wires, you know, from the aftermarket. I know they are available out there, but they're a little harder to get your hands on. I do not care too much for a lot of the aftermarket wires. I prefer to stay with the original equipment stuff. They fit better. They hold up better. I've seen them go 100, 150, 200,000 miles on a vehicle without any issues. You know, it's kind of hard to get away from that when you go to tune one up. You know, it worked well for that long. I'd stick with it.
Right.
You know.
That product is not broke, so they don't need to try to fix it with a cheaper one.
Right, right. So, I just like staying with the original equipment style components. You know, if it's a Ford, go with Motorcraft. If it's, you know, GM, go with AC Delco. I believe the Chrysler stuff is it's a Mopar branded plug, which is basically a Champion, I do believe.
I would think, yeah.
And there's NGKs for, you know, a lot of the Nissan stuff and some of the Toyotas. And you go, because you get in there and you get you put the wrong plug in there, and I'm not going to say wrong plug because it'd be the right part number for the application. Just say a Bosch plug, and you put it in a GM product.
Right.
I have had zero luck with that working well.
Right.
You know, I've just seen it cause issues time and time again.
So you're saying stay with the brand?
Stick with what it was supposed to be built with. You know, it worked well. The engineers got paid lots of money to figure that out, and the manufacturers spent a lot of money trying to figure out what was best. So,
now it's working. You know, in most occasions, we're getting, like you say, 100 to 150,000 miles on these things before we had to change them.
Yep, and we do have a text online here too. Let's see. After dropping the pan to change the transmission fluid, would it be okay to crank the engine for a few seconds to empty the torque converter?
Ooh.
I don't think that'd be a good idea.
No,
don't think that'd be a good idea.
No, you don't need to get dry.
No, you don't want it dry, and even for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And really, you're not going to move a whole lot of fluid because what's happening without the pump picking up fluid and pumping it through,
right,
there's not going to be anything moving.
Right.
So
good air.
The converter itself really does not pump the fluid back out into the motor. It will drain about half of the fluid out of the converter just by, you know, natural drain. So you're better off just doing a pan drop, clean out, put it back together.
Right. I wouldn't push that envelope.
No, probably not where I would go on that one.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, we've got a little bit going on out at UJ. We get coming up towards the end of the year and working on our inventory. We've actually bought quite a few vehicles. I think we've got somewhere around 70 vehicles coming in by the first of next month.
Woo.
So we've been steadily pumping them through the shop, getting them ready for the lot. We got a pretty good selection.
Well, the inventory, it was started building back up, I'm sure, within the last few days. It takes a week or so for it to get the chain.
Well, you know,
fill back up.
After the strike was over, you know, we're still struggling a little bit getting our vehicles from GM. You know, they were, in the middle of some model changes and that kind of stuff as well. So it hurt all that. But we had quite a few in the pipe already. They were proactive enough to make sure we had a good inventory.
Well, I'm sure there was some of the other dealers were loaded with vehicles with their inventory and all, and now they're trying to get ready for their new inventory to come in from the plant. So they will move a lot of those vehicles for a little bit less money, and in turn, if the dealership like UJ gets it and gets it on their lot at a smaller rate, then they're going to give the customer a better rate. So, hey, right. Man, you know, now it's time to buy it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to get your best deal.
Yeah. I mean, they've got some pretty good deals going on, and General Motors has some pretty good rebates on their on the 19 mm-hmm. model stuff since the 20s have started hitting the ground.
Yeah.
So we've actually bought some of the 19 model stuff to get out there.
Awesome.
To give our customers choices, pretty good rebates. Need to come out to
you. Do you know of any Christmas sales or Thanksgiving sales that are
We got the big Black Friday sale coming up here right after Thanksgiving. Actually, I think it's the whole month long, just about. But, they've got some big stuff coming up right around Thanksgiving.
They'll go from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. It's they're always pushing that right here at the end of the year.
Hey, well, a new car would make a pretty spectacular Christmas present.
Be careful on what color you get. I've been seeing some advertisings where, you got a red one for her and she didn't like it, and she wanted his black truck, so you need to make sure what color she wants before you go buy it.
The only car I ever got for Christmas was one of those little Hot Wheels, so you could put it under the tree.
Yeah. I got one made out of wood one time when I was a kid.
There you go. Or a chunk of wood, a balsa wood, and a pocket knife.
I had that deal one time. Whatever the hell you want.
I wonder if kids do any kids carve anymore. I wonder.
That interferes with the games.
That's
the video games.
Yeah. Well, you can't give them a knife anymore.
Yourselves. You can't play mumbly peg like we did, or throw the knives in the doors. Yeah. We had doors to our bedrooms that.
Yeah.
Well, had holes stuck in them where we were throwing our knives and stuff.
I can remember as a small kid, we had the knives playing games out on the playground at school.
You don't do that now.
Yeah.
But see, we were taught the responsibility of keeping that knife in your pocket.
Well, our education to our children at this day and time is different than when you and I were back in the days where they were chiseling the words on the stone, when they give them to us, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. In the name of your girlfriend with a heart on a tree.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Can't do that anymore.
No, you can't beat you. Disfiguring the darn evergreens.
Well, tree hugger would come out there and beat you up.
Damn tree huggers.
Yep.
Break up my honeymoon with my girlfriend.
Break up the romance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But, what are we going to do about all these electric cars now, Kev? What do you see coming?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a big part of this industry. Unfortunately, before I get out of this business, I'm going to have to.
You're not going to retire quick enough.
No. Unfortunately, they're going to do it way before I get to retire. Yep. So,
Are they still moving forward with the network of charging stations?
Well, and that's part of the issue.
Do they have them at the Walmart parking lot yet?
No, I don't know that they do.
They got them at Bel Air Mall.
They've got some, you know, around town, and Tesla's kind of taking the forefront of that. You know, unfortunately, not all cars are compatible with the Tesla chargers.
I was wondering, you know, if the receptors that they use to where you plug it all in is the same.
I know, and a lot, and that's the problem is a lot of them will hook up, but they won't necessarily charge properly.
They need to standardize that.
I know our Chevy Bolt is a little different than what the Tesla is as far as how to charge it, so we can't use the same charger. The Chevrolet Volt, which is, you know, the Bolt is actually an all-electric vehicle. The Volt is the hybrid vehicle that has a gas-burning engine that's basically, you know, running a generator,
right,
and then it's, you know, running the wheels from there.
Well, so, you know, I was talking to you about it a while ago while I was off the air, is the fact that Ford's coming out with an all-electric Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
So I look for, within months after that, for General Motors will have an SS Camaro, I'm sure, that's going to have an all-electric car as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. You know, General Motors is not necessarily known for taking the forefront on some of this kind of stuff. You know, they're going to sit back and watch and see what works and doesn't work,
right,
you know, and then try
Not
and
the
perfect
other guys
it from there.
Make mistakes.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for that.
Sure.
You know, they may not get that big boost of the initial release, you know, and which is also when they charge you way more than what the vehicle's worth, you know. Chrysler did it with their PT Cruiser. You know, they were charging people almost twice what that car would sell for, you know, on the sticker price, and because it was going to be a limited production, and it got so popular that they started, you know, mass producing them, and then they ain't worth nothing.
Oh my goodness.
You had to be careful of that.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back.
Music is back. I'm proud to say I drive a truck. 18 wheels has always been enough. I'm looking through my windshield when the sun is coming up. I'm proud to say I drive a truck. I don't think that I could sit there in an office every day, knowing out there somewhere there's a white line I can chase. Open road and a radio, my Detroit engine whines. Another load to Texas, gotta move her on down the line.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Ramon, with a long time collection. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, you know, we obviously had an extremely hot summer, and from what I've seen so far, we're going to have a cold winter. So,
yes.
Want to make sure everybody, you know, takes the time to get their cars prepped before we get into some seriously cold weather. You know, seriously cold for us is in the 20s around here. But
Well, it's when it starts wiping out all of the flower plants like it did.
Hey, yep. If you're going to do it yourself, how do you know how much coolant to put in?
Well, I mean, there's always capacities for, you know, the coolant system in these vehicles. You know, it's not as critical as it used to be, you know, because, you know, heck, you had to do
water.
It about every year or every other year, where now, I mean, it's the coolant's supposed to be good for over 100,000 miles, closer to 150.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. If you buy the right kind of coolant.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you don't buy the El Cheapo.
No.
Economical coolant.
Well, and that's where a lot of people go wrong, too, is, you know, they'll go to top off their vehicle, you know, on their cooling system. You know, just say that it had a little leak or it got a little hot one time or whatever and spit some out. They're going to top it off. Well, they top it off with the wrong stuff.
Uh-oh. You know?
it's not highly, you know, that's not a real bad thing. But what you have done, if you have not put the extended life coolant back in it, you have just made it to where you have to change that that coolant out in a short period. You
dilute it.
You've diluted it and you've contaminated it with the other coolant. No big deal. It can be flushed out and put back like it's supposed to be, but it is something that needs to be looked at. Get someone to check your antifreeze rating to make sure it's up to par for what we need to do around here, especially if you have any plans on going further north, because you never know what you're going to run into up there.
But the radiator and
the leaves,
the radiator and the reservoir.
Yeah, well, and more than just the reservoir, because you know a lot of people will just look at the reservoir, top it off, and think everything's good, but you know not necessarily true. You know, because
so what do you want protected down to about zero?
I like to see at least zeros. You know, normally I like to see somewhere in the 15 to 20 below range. You know, at that point, you know, anything we're going to get into anywhere around here is good. You know, I think twice in my life I've seen it down somewhere in the single digits. So in this area, so it's
that's about me too.
Yeah, that's it doesn't happen very often. So I think you're good at that point. You know. Make sure your tires are aired up properly. You know, with this last couple of weeks, we've had the cooler weather, and we've had some, you know, a bunch of people come in. Hey, I got a tire light on.
Right.
Well, yeah, probably so.
Yep.
You know, so,
they'll start showing up then when that weather turns that cold, because it does build the temperature back up in the air.
Yep.
Inside of the tire.
It does. And, you know, make sure your heater works. Make sure the defrost works well. You know, the rear window defogger, all these kind of things. You know, all that stuff counts. It needs to be checked and make sure that it's working properly. Clean the inside of your windows as well. It'll help keep them from fogging up nearly as much as they do during the winter. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Go ahead.
Yes, call.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Tom, I guess it's Tom.
You need to turn your radio down, because otherwise you get that echo.
Yeah, I have trouble going echo.
Go ahead, sir.
All right.
Okay, I've got a 2006 Ford Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 4-point old engine.
Yeah.
I got a blown head gasket.
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm having the engine rebuilt with a type for it. And the guy's charging me $1,500 to do this.
Right.
Is that too steep or what?
Actually, it sounds pretty cheap, you know, to be honest with you. That's a fairly complicated motor on how the cylinder heads are set up on it. You know, it's got timing chains across the back of them. You know, it's...
Also, they want to send me another engine that's got 158,000 for 1,500.
Yeah.
What would I do?
You know, how many miles do you have on yours?
It's 162.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I got the head of whatever they does to do the head gasket,
mm-hmm.
it's just a very close cut on that gasket.
Right.
What do they do to it in order to fix that head gasket?
Well, you know, they're going to replace the head gasket, and they're going to have the heads checked, I'm sure. The problem you get into, there's not a whole lot of room to cut on those heads. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Yes, I'm not a big fan of.
I'm asking you. You bad. I be listening to you. You bad. Who's never I'm talking to? You bad.
Yeah, you got the car doctor himself, Mr. Kevin Rewinkle.
Yeah, but it's you know, it's a little touchy going into a motor with that kind of miles on it, especially one that you know has been run hot. You know, when it gets
It's my wife's vehicle. I never seen them run hot. I watched all my gauges. I only drove it. You know, I ain't driving that much, but.
Right.
How do it get a blown head gasket that easy.
Well, and things can happen as far, especially when you get that kind of mileage on it. It may have, all it takes is one time to get hot.
But do I have to do anything else to it? Because I'm on the mechanic side. I got a Gulf Coast ride train over in Spanish Fort.
Right.
And what else should I do to that engine with that kind of miles on it?
Well, I would definitely replace the timing chains and all the guides and tensioners and everything while you're doing it. If I'm going to change the heads, I'm definitely going to redo all that and address any kind of leaks or anything like that. If they pull the heads to replace the gaskets, they need to really be close, pay close attention to the pistons and the cylinder walls, make sure there's no damage there before they bolt new stuff on. If they do those things, make sure you're checking or replacing the water pump and thermostat while you're there. If you do those,
okay, that's what I did already. Replaced the water pump,
mm-hmm.
the thermostat, and if something else would be dealt on it.
Yeah,
but, be sure you change out all that timing chain setup and all, because you're already there. It's already, the part of it is disassembled, so you want to make sure that's replaced.
Right.
Okay. Well, I've spent $600 on already doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now it's got a bad run out. So now I'm fixing it. Then go back in, and he said $1,500. I said, wow.
Yeah.
So, but got to do what I got to do because I like the vehicle.
Right. Right.
Well, if you're that far into it, I'd rather see you go ahead and fix that rather than mm-hmm. putting another used engine in it. Because
I do too. That's what I was thinking. I need your opinion, though.
You're putting the cylinder heads back on it. They should be checked at a machine shop, I would think. They're going to be satisfied with the correctness and accuracy mm-hmm. of that and change the head gaskets.
Well, what do the machine shop do?
Well, and they'll go through, and they're checking and possibly resurfacing the bottom of the heads where the gasket can actually wear into the head over time. They'll check the valves. They'll check make sure everything's sealing properly, and they may even do a pressure check on the heads to make sure there's not a crack anywhere in the heads.
Right, if it's a crack in the head, what could they do about it?
Get another head.
Get another head, buddy.
Yeah, there's ways to repair them, but replace the head. Don't go there. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
okay. You just gave me. I'm gonna fix the thing.
There you go.
Yep.
Are you bad?
Fix it. Run it. Drive it till the wheels get square.
That's what I'm going to do.
If you need some more wheels, call me. I wear them out quite often.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your call.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, but I want to break something out here. One of our fine sponsors is your CBD store of West Mobile. Our brother out there, Mr. Joe Brown, is doing an unbelievable thing here at 12 Days of Christmas. He's got to earn great money for your favorite charity with 12 Days of Christmas. You're at your CBD store of West Mobile. It'll be December the 9th through the 21st. They're located 1218 Hillcrest Road, Suite F. And what will happen is that when you sign up for the charity, get your charity, and you have to prove that it is a charity, that it has a 501c3, and then you also have to have the approval of that charity. I do know that Jake Peavy Foundation has already signed up. Mobile Baykeepers has signed up. I haven't talked with Joe today to see who else has signed up, but you need to call him at 583-4049 and check with him and see if he has any openings left for your charity of your choice. And if you want to get with him on how to handle that and get it involved, what he's going to do is they'll donate 10% of the daily sales on whatever day of that period of time from Monday through Saturday is through the 21st to a different charity each day. Now, they'll let you know, they'll give you the designated day to be determined by a random drawing when these 12 charities have been selected, and he will guarantee that each charity receives a minimum of $100 donation. So I think it's an awesome thing that he's doing for these charities and all. It's, here we go again. Your CBD store of West Mobile is stepping up and working with our local charities.
And what was that phone number? I didn't write fast enough.
Well, you got to tighten up, Charlie. 583-40.
Wait a minute.
583-40-49. And I want to say a shout-out out there to Miss Vicky. I know she's listening to us tonight. Yep. But we'll move forward with our CBD store of West Mobile here. 30 seconds?
We got 30 seconds left.
You can handle that, Doc.
I think we can.
Go ahead, Car Doc.
I think we can fill this in somewhere.
There you go, buddy.
You know, but, yeah, we were talking a little bit about the electric cars, and we'll get into more of that when we get back off of our break. But and Charlie, if you'll answer the phone and get them to hold on until after our next break here, we'll get with them too. But
all right, caller, hold on until after the break.
Yeah. But thank you, Charlie. Did a great job on that. Appreciate that. But
thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Sounds like it's time for our break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up, but that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. It's got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust, 411 gears, so can really get lost. It's got safety tubes, and I'm not scared. The brakes are good, and the tires are fair.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond for a long time. Claxton, you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of giving us a call, we have a caller online.
John,
you with us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate the call.
I have a 1997 Toyota Land Cruiser with 333,000 miles on the
odometer. Bam, you just went over the warranty. You just run out, man. 300,000.
Probably closer to 365 on maximum mileage because I've got some larger tires on it. But here's my question.
Okay.
So it's always burned oil a little bit.
Right.
But over the last probably 6 months, I started getting a more consistent drip, and then over the last 2 days, the leak has gotten really bad. When I look under the car, I'm taking in tomorrow, but when I look under the car, it appears to be leaking from just to the right of the front driver tire.
Yeah.
That's where it looks like it's coming down from. It's not coming from the drain plug. It's not coming from the filter. It's coming from the left side of the engine is what it appears to be coming from. Any ideas what may be going on there?
On that one, refresh my memory. That's the old V6 motor.
No, that's straight six. It's 97. They didn't move it to V until 98. So it's straight six.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's really hard to say. There's probably either going to be an oil pressure switch or a oil cooler somewhere in that general area. You know, it's on the plus side, it's not going to be like a rear main seal, which is going to be a major ordeal to repair.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to put a transmission with that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect a valve cover. I've seen, you know, that's why I was asking if it was a V-series motor.
I replaced the valve cover with a friend about 2 years ago.
Right.
And I went back and just double-checked those bolts, and they're all torqued down to spec. So
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm going to say it's probably, and I'm drawing a blank on where the oil pressure switch is on that one, but it's more than likely I would expect more along the lines of an oil pressure switch or an oil cooler line or something along those areas, you know, that area.
It does appear that it's coming from the motor itself, of where he's general area he's talking about.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't expect like a front seal, a rear seal,
and even
a timing cover.
Yeah, it's not a major
valve cover, that kind of thing. You know, my guess is going to be an external bolt-on component. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
gotcha.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll find out tomorrow when I take it to my guy.
Hey, call us, hey, just for the hell of it, call us next week and let us know, man.
Yeah.
You got it.
Be interested in seeing what you found there. You know, that's where you learn. We're kind of like doctors and lawyers. We're practicing.
Yeah.
All right, have a good night, guys.
All right. I appreciate you calling in.
Okay.
I tell you, that old inline six motor that was in those things,
right?
Those things were bulletproof.
Yeah.
They were never a never exactly a racehorse, but they had a lot of torque.
Oh, yeah.
They were low RPM motors. But
they wasn't designed to run 150 miles an hour, no. But they were held to 100.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is the straight line six disappeared?
No, not exactly. You know, BMW's been running them for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Still got them. You know, GM is bringing back an inline six in some of our trucks.
Well, look at some of the international diesels.
Yeah. Well, and most every one of your over-the-road trucks that
right.
are running down the highway
right.
are an inline six
they're,
motor.
They're inline sixes. Yeah. They're just tough.
Yeah, it's a smoother power.
A lot of torque.
The balance is better. The torque is good. It's a pretty neat combination.
So
you know.
What's the advantage of the V-shape then?
A smaller package. Mm-hmm. You know, you can,
less space?
Yeah, it takes up a little less space. It's a shorter motor, so you don't have near as much hood clearance issues.
Yeah, you save about a foot in the length of the motor versus the straight six.
Yeah. And, you know, everything is so tight nowadays as far as how it's packaged that, you know, it makes it really hard to run the inline motors like that. But looks like we do have a caller online, though. Yeah. But, caller, hey. Are you with us?
Hey.
Hey.
Come in for the commentators.
Yes, go for it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had a question about a 1995 GMC Canyon pickup truck.
Okay.
I noticed that checking the oil one time, it was running low on oil, but the very bottom tip of it had oil, but it also had like a white creamy mixture to it, almost like it had gotten water or something in there. But I hadn't noticed it anymore. That had been a one deal problem, or what do you think that might have been?
Which motor has that one got in it?
It's got the four-cylinder.
Yeah.
Condensation.
You said 95. Is that the 2.2 or the 2.4 probably?
I'm thinking the 2.4 probably.
Yeah.
It's just a standard little engine. In
right. More than likely what has happened is you had a little condensation on the inside of the motor that burns off every time you crank it up and get it up to temperature. It may have been a humid day, you know, and I see it down here all the time with the humidity we get, especially this time of year with the temperature changes. You know, you get a little moisture inside the motor just for the simple fact that as it's cooled down, it's drawn some of that moisture in, and you know, and until you crank it up and get it back up to temperature, it's still there. You'll see it on the bottom side of the oil cap and sometimes on the dipstick.
Where I found it. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
You wouldn't found that if the motor was hot.
Right.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. One other quick question. I've got an Armada 1995 also that I noticed the oil pressure, if you sit and idle, it wants to drop down, but when you accelerate or pull off, it'll go back up to about halfway and stay there all day long unless you're idling it. Is that a oil pressure problem or
probably not
the needle problem?
Yeah, and probably not. And what you have to remember, you know, on these things, you have a mechanical oil pump that is driven off the crankshaft or camshaft, depending on which motor we're talking about. On that one, I believe it's driven off the crankshaft. So it's not turning as fast when it's sitting there at idle. As soon as you pick up the RPMs,
right.
It's able to pump more oil and
right.
do a little better. And there's a spec for idle, and there's a spec for, you know, at 2,000 or 2,500 RPMs. So it used to be that on the older motors, the general rule was, you know, 10 pounds per 1,000 RPMs.
1,000 RPMs, right.
So, you know, and that was on, you know, basically a hot rod motor.
Mm-hmm.
So at idle, you may only have 10 pounds of oil pressure, but going down the road, it'd be 45, 50
right.
pounds of
but
oil pressure.
But 5 to 7 pounds of oil pressure at idle is sufficient as long as you've got pressure.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's true on most all motors. Some of our, you know, overhead cam stuff with the actuators and all requires a little more, but the pumps are built and designed. If you're not getting a message telling you that you have a low oil pressure, probably not a problem.
Okay, super. Enjoy your show every time. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you listening.
It's swelling up now. We're getting big. Good big head.
But, it's and we get that comment a lot. And even like the truck I'm driving right now, the 2019 Chevrolet Silverado.
Ooh, it's a pretty 3. Truck.
Yeah, that one's pretty. I like that.
Man, that's silver a truck. Yeah, I'd love to have that.
But it's actually a two-stage, not two-stage. It's a it's got a low pressure operation and a high pressure operation. From idle to 3,000 RPMs, it operates at a lower pressure. And as soon as you hit that 3,000 RPM mark, you see it actually will turn off the pressure regulator to where it doesn't dump the oil as much. And it runs the oil pressure up for higher RPM use.
Son of a gun. So, okay.
I've had people make comments. It's like, well, sometimes my oil pressure jumps way up. And it's like, well, you got your foot in it.
We're not accustomed to that. back in the old days, 180 degrees water temperature was, you were getting high then. But right. Now they're like 230, 240, 250.
Yeah, we've run these things. It's common for them to run 210, 220.
Charlie let us run out of time.
Yeah, we run out of time. But we're appreciate everybody faster. Listening. Tonight, and we will be back next week with the Car Doctor Show, and thank everybody for listening.
Hoorah!
She's running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead with all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears and a Georgia overdrive.